5. You have kids. 6. Your kids do the same thing. I know the Bible doesn't say anything about girls liking girls, but what if I do like them? What if I decide to change step 2? What happens to the rest of the timeline? I know I can marry girls, but Mom and Dad won't want me to. They'll hate me like they hate you. Not that June and I are going to get married. That's ridiculous. We're kids. They don't make wedding dresses that small. I don't know what to do, and I can't talk to Kitty and Maggie about the kiss. If I kissed Joey Witter, that would be different. They'd shriek and scream and gush about how cute his eyes are, which they're not. They're boring blue eyes that don't ever sparkle. June's eyes always sparkle. They're big and deep and brown, with little flecks of gold like reflected sunlight. If I told Kitty and Maggie I'd kissed a girl, they'd give me weird looks, or they'd tell their parents, who'd tell our parents, who'd kill me. You're the only one I can talk to. You know how on TV shows, first kisses are always a surprise? Like the boy and the girl bump into each other and look at each other and then all of a sudden there's kissing? Or they're watching a movie and the boy puts his arm around the girl all casual-like and then leans over to kiss her? They never talk about what's going to happen. They just do it. Then there are lips and spit and moving heads and arms all over the place. It was different with me and June. Maybe that's what I should have expected, because we're different. We're not a boy and a girl. We're girls. Two girls. We're already different. So we talked first. We talked a lot, actually. We both got to the theater early on opening night. I thought Mrs. Harper said to get there at 3 o'clock, and I told June the same thing. She really said 4, though, so we hung around outside the stage door, by the picnic tables and the weeping willow tree. It was windy, so I kept pushing a stray piece of hair out of my eyes. After I did that about 10 times, June reached into her pocket and pulled out a clip. She clipped my hair behind my ear, then left her hand on my cheek for a second more. It was only a second, but it felt like a year. Okay, maybe not a year, but way longer. She stared at me. I stared at her. I didn't know what she was thinking. I knew what I was thinking, but I also didn't know what I was thinking. I was really, really confused. Are crushes on boys this hard? So we stared some more. This is when the people in TV shows and movies would have started swapping spit. But we're different. So do you know what we did? We started laughing, snort laughing, holding our sides laughing, hiccup laughing. A lady walking by with her dog stopped and stared at us. We were laughing so hard. Was last night weird to you? June asked the question first. I was glad because it felt like my mouth was stuffed full of cotton, or like if I said anything, it'd come out in another language. Us dancing, I mean. Did something about it feel different? I took a deep breath. I felt like I was in the middle of a dream. Not because it was my dream come true or anything, but because what was happening didn't feel real. It was like I was a ghost hovering outside of myself, watching some alternate world Evie have a conversation with the girl she liked. It was weird. And different. I forced the words out, then wanted to take them back, but I made myself say more. I made myself tell the truth. But I kind of liked it. I looked down at the picnic table, where someone had carved a pair of initials into the wood. AJ plus EB forever. I wondered who AJ and EB were. Amy and Elliot? Andrew and Elizabeth? Amy and Elizabeth, maybe. Amy and Elizabeth forever. Me too, June said. I traced my finger over Amy's and Elizabeth's initials for bravery. I took a deep breath and forced myself to ask the question I'd been wondering for weeks now. Months, even. Do you like girls? I avoided her eyes. I didn't want to see the look of shock I knew would be there if I was wrong. Do you like me? Like me. I've spent a lot of time wondering if I'm a sinner for liking June. I've spent a lot more time trying to figure out if she feels the same way, whether her comments about girls being cute mean anything. Wondering why our hanging out feels different than when I'm with Katie and Maggie. Then June nodded. She didn't say anything, but she did nod, and I knew the answer. Yes, she liked me too. Have you ever, you know, before? June pointed between us. Done stuff like this? Stuff like dancing. She looked down at our hands. They were at least a foot apart, but right then a foot didn't seem that far. Or holding hands? Or kissing? The word burst out like soda from a bottle that's been shaken up. When I opened my mouth, it was like I took the cap right off. Pop! Fizz! There was no way to hold that sticky, sweet stream back. June shook her head. I shook my head. We were quiet for about a zillion more years. Would you ever want to? She asked. I shrugged. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, me too. Maybe.
Really?
Really. Okay. More staring. Did you and Alex stare at each other a lot? I mean, I know you used to stare into each other's eyes. I saw you doing that a lot. But that was after you'd kissed for the first time. Did you do it before, too? Did it feel this awkward? Because this was super awkward. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, and I didn't know if Mrs. Harper or Katie or Maggie or Miri or even Joey would walk up to us any minute. So I inched forward and kissed her. I kissed June. Me, who used to run away from all the dogs in our neighborhood. Me, who had a nightlight in my room until I was 9. I felt like I deserved a medal for courage, like the Cowardly Lion gets in The Wizard of Oz. The kiss only lasted for about 2 seconds, and I'm not sure who pulled away first. We stared at each other for another few seconds. June smiled. I smiled. Then Mrs. Harper did walk up. Her arms were full of props, and she asked us to carry some stuff inside for her. I lost track of June then, and every time I caught her eye for the rest of the night, she looked away. She disappeared after the show, too, which makes me think she regrets the kiss. Maybe she thinks we're sinners now, too. Or whatever atheists call bad people. Maybe she's just waiting to talk to me about it in school on Monday. I hope things aren't weird between us now, because even if she does regret it, I still want to be her friend. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. I miss your advice. P.P.S. In case you're wondering, Beauty and the Beast was great. Maggie didn't lose her voice or forget any of her lines, and everyone got a standing ovation at the end. Mom and Dad brought me flowers. 12 long-stemmed red roses. I bet they'd have given me poison ivy if they knew about me in June. Monday, April 8th. Dear Scylla, here's something I was thinking about last night in bed, when I was staring up at the ceiling, reliving every second of the kiss for the zillionth time, while I was making those 2 seconds stretch into 2 infinities. Why did kissing June feel like a brave thing to do? I'd never say that Katie's brave for kissing Ethan. Why should it be different for what I did? Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. P.P.S. I'm nervous about seeing June in school today. I hope things aren't awkward. Monday, later. April 8th. Dear Scylla, June wasn't in school today. Love, Evie. Tuesday, April 9th. Dear Scylla, not today either. She's avoiding me. I know it. She wants to forget what happened. She doesn't even want to be friends anymore. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. P.P.S. Please write back. I need your help. Thursday, April 11th. Dear Scylla, June's been absent all week. School feels so empty. Now that Beauty and the Beast is over, Katie and Maggie aren't as annoying as before, but they still talk about theater stuff all the time. Stuff like what the next show is going to be, if Katie should take singing lessons now, too. How it'll be the best thing ever for them to go with their new friends on a trip to New York City. Or else they talk about Ethan and Dominic. Maggie and Dominic started going out last week. I know more about Ethan and Dominic than I ever wanted to know. Like that Ethan's favorite vegetable is Brussels sprouts. That Dominic's favorite color is dark green. Not light green, not regular green, but dark green. That Ethan uses rose-scented shampoo that he borrows from his younger sister. I'm not supposed to tell anyone that part. I know the same things about June, but I can't say them out loud. Katie and Maggie aren't going to care that June broke her middle finger last year, and that whenever it's going to rain, she feels a little pang there. They're not going to care that June always sneezes 3 times in a row. Not once or twice, but always 3 times. They're not going to care that June hates pasta and turkey sandwiches. And they're 2 of my favorite foods. Katie and Maggie and I still laugh together, but it's not the same. It's not like when I'm with June. There's nothing else competing for my attention with June. It's just us. Us laughing about the pen stain on Miss Pasquale's cheek that she doesn't notice for 2 hours. Us trying to make the best designs on the soles of our sneakers. Us convincing June's mom to share her super secret recipe for cinnamon apple pie, and then getting into a flower fight in the kitchen. I miss her, as a friend and as, maybe, something more. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you too. Saturday, April 13th. Dear Scylla, I've waited all day for June to call me or come over. She'd shout, surprise, and tell me she really hasn't been ignoring me. She'd say everything's okay with us and that she doesn't think I'm gross and disgusting and a, you know. You know the word Mom and Dad use to describe girls who like other girls. The word they say with pursed lips, like they've sucked on a lemon. A lesbian. What if June gets that lemon face too? I know I didn't do anything wrong, but I still feel guilty. Because of church. And because of our backwards parents, who've talked about the awfulness of same-sex marriage enough that it's apparently brainwashed me a little bit. That makes me feel kind of sick. Because I didn't do anything wrong. We didn't do anything wrong. So now I feel guilty about feeling guilty about the kiss. Ah! Mom had to pick up a carton of eggs this afternoon. Dad wanted ice cream, too, so I went with her to the supermarket. I didn't tell her I only went because June's house is on the way. I looked extra hard, but I couldn't see anyone moving behind the windows. Her mom's car was in the driveway, though, so I know they didn't go away. I'm so confused. Should I call her? Or will that make her think I'm a stalker? Please write back. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Sunday, April 14th. Dear Scylla, this morning before church, Dad was reading the New York Times wedding section over breakfast. There was a feature on two guys who'd just gotten married. They wore matching dark suits, and each of them had a little flower in his lapel. One wore a fancy fedora. I think that's the name of the hat with the big brim. And the other had curly black hair. One of them was holding a little baby in his arms. She wore this tiny frilly white dress and might have been around the age of your baby. Maybe. I'm not that great at telling how old babies are. Dad slammed the paper shut as soon as he saw the picture. He didn't say anything, but I saw him squeeze his eyes closed and clench his teeth. He picked up the sports page instead, but I could tell he wasn't really reading it. The article was about golf. Dad hates golf. That was fine with me, though. I didn't want to look at him, because I knew why he tossed away that paper. I knew why that picture offended him. Why I would offend him, too. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. P.P.S. Do you get the New York Times at your school? Did you see the picture of the lady with the wedding dress with sparkles all over the skirt? That's the kind I want someday when I get married. If I get married. Monday, April 15th. Dear Scylla, June was finally in school today. She told Mr. Gardner she had the flu. I think I believe her, but I'm not sure. She does look pale, and she does have a note from her mom. Plus, Maggie's out sick today, too. I don't feel sick, though. And since we kissed, wouldn't I have caught it? I'm not sure how kissing germs work. Shouldn't they be worse than the regular germs you get when you shake someone's hand? When June sat next to me, I waited for her to say hi first. She looked like she was going to say something, but then Mr. Gardner started talking about the project we'll be working on this month. Our new social studies unit is on Europe. Mr. Gardner usually assigns partners for group projects, but he told us we could pick this time. Of course I wanted to be partners with June, but I wasn't going to ask her first. That'd feel like asking her to be my girlfriend or something. Joey claimed Katie. I think he was trying to make me jealous. It obviously didn't work. And everyone else paired up in seconds. I bet they all assumed I'd be with June, which is what ended up happening after all. Mr. Gardner wrote our names next to each other on the board and asked all the pairs to pick a country from a list he handed out. Then June and I had the most awkward conversation in the whole world. June. Hey. Me. Hey. June. Did you have a good week? Me. I guess. Are you feeling better now? June. I think so. I was barfing all over the place. It was gross. Me. Ew. June. I know. Mom hates throw up. I think she was more miserable than me.
Me.
Oh, June.
Yeah.
Me.
So, how about we do Italy?
It was like we just met, but worse. Because the day we met, we talked for 15 minutes about how parachute day in gym class used to be the best thing ever, and how it's totally unfair middle schoolers don't get to do it anymore. Today, we sat there staring at each other. June was wearing this orange shirt that made her eyes look super dark, like the sky at night. She dyed her pink streak orange, too, and she looked really pretty. I wanted to tell her that, maybe whisper it to her, but I totally chickened out. Someone could hear me, or June might not want to hear it. She caught me looking at her once and smiled, though. My heart did a double beat. I could feel it in my chest. Maybe she would want to hear it. Mr. Gardner called on us first, so we actually do get to do Italy. I remember when you did your country report on Germany, and I had to taste test that disgusting sauerkraut. Pasta and pizza are way yummier. The report is due in 3 weeks. That means we have to meet after school and on the weekends to work on it. I don't know if I'm excited or totally freaking out. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Tuesday, April 16th. Dear Scylla, June and I talked at school today. Not about what happened, though, which is funny considering how much we talked before the kiss. We talked about how Dad is super grumpy now since he gave up coffee for Lent. We talked about how June's DVR broke and now she can't record middle-of-the-night horror movies. We talked about how Mr. Gardner doesn't let us have snacks in class, but always sneaks bites of the protein bars he keeps in his top drawer. The gross banana ones, too. We talked about everything except what really matters. At least we talked. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Wednesday, April 17th. Dear Scylla, today we talked about Pixar movies and debated two-piece versus one-piece bathing suits. We talked about sour cream and onion chips versus spicy nacho Doritos. We talked about Katie and Ethan kissing in the middle of the lunchroom and getting in trouble for it. We didn't talk about us kissing at all. It's kind of like how we are not talking about what happened, or what's happening. You haven't written back in ages, and I'm starting to get worried that you're sick or brainwashed or something, because I know the letters are going to St. Augustine's. Nothing's coming back, though. Remember how I wrote that maybe Mom and Dad are worried I might try to track the baby down? That got me thinking. Maybe I can. I can find her, and then I can go get you. Maybe if you hear how she's doing or see a picture of her, you'll find some closure, or healing, or whatever. Maybe then you'll be able to come home. You'll want to come home. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. P.P.S. The verdict was neither. We both want to buy tankinis for the pool this summer. Thursday, April 18th. Dear Scylla, Happy Holy Thursday! Ha, just kidding. I know this used to be your least favorite day of the entire year. When I was a kid, I thought it was silly. Going to church to get your feet washed? It was like going to the supermarket to get a new car, or going to the beach to pick apples. The two things together made no sense, which made it kind of cool. Now I definitely agree with you. We got a new priest last month, and by new, I mean ancient. Father Edward is about a bazillion years old. His fingernails are all yellow and gnarled, and his face looks like a huge white raisin. Mom and Dad expect me to take off my shoes and let those hands pour water all over my feet? Yeah, right. I know Jesus washed the feet of his disciples to cleanse them and make them feel part of the church, blah, 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 blah. But that was about a million years ago. Father Edward was probably alive back then. I don't need to get my feet washed by some old guy in a robe. My feet are clean. I took a shower this morning. I'm wearing socks. Maybe I don't want my sins washed away either. Mom and Dad can if they want, because they have stuff to feel bad about. They did something wrong. And even if they didn't, they always worry about doing something wrong, or feel bad about something they might have done wrong. They must get tired, because I get tired thinking about how to make them happy. I get tired pretending. I don't get why I have to do a lot of this stuff anymore. Church is okay. I like the sermons, when the priest tells a story about how the Bible relates to life.
But why can I only pray using the words they give me? Why can't I talk to God in my own words? Why can't I pray outside by the lake or in my room? What if I want a different God than the one who'll hate me for who I like? Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Friday, April 19th. Dear Scylla, do you still believe in God? I think I do. Even though lots of stuff doesn't make sense, I still think he's up there. I'm not sure if it's because that's what I've always believed or that's what I really believe, but in the end, I do believe. I feel better when I pray. Sometimes my prayers are answered and sometimes they're not, but it feels good to know there's someone looking out for me, especially now that you're gone. Mom and Dad are making me pray now. That's what they think I'm doing. It's 6:01 p.m. on Good Friday, and we're doing our yearly Be Quiet from Noon to 3 because that's when Jesus was hanging on the cross and we need to show him respect thing. I don't understand how Catholics know exactly what time Jesus died or what time they took him down from the cross. I asked Mom, but she told me it was the principle of the thing and we should accept the answers God gave us. Then she told me to sit on my bed and talk to God. Mom's not here, though, so I'm writing to you instead. Right now, I'd rather be closer to you than to God. I'm actually running out of stationery, which is funny. When Aunt Megan gave me this, I didn't think I'd use more than a few sheets. But now I'll have to use regular paper to write you, or buy new stationery. I'm hoping I won't have to, though. Maybe you'll show up the day after I use the last sheet. Maybe it's magic paper, and you'll appear in a poof of smoke when I write on the very last line. That has about as much of a chance of happening as my Hogwarts letter coming. I think I will pray now, actually. I'll pray that Mom and Dad don't kick me out of the house when they figure out what's going on. I'll pray that you're happy and your baby's safe and that June and I figure out what's going on between us. I'll pray because it'll make me feel better, even if only a little bit. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Sunday, April 21st. Dear Scylla, Happy Easter! This is the first Easter we've been apart since I was born. I wore my brand new Easter dress to church this morning. It's knee length and pink with blue and green flowers. I told Mom she didn't have to buy me a new dress since last year still fits, but she insisted.
It's a tradition, Evie. I buy you and so-
She stopped talking and pressed her lips together so tightly they turned white.
I buy you a new dress every year. It's part of the celebration.
I got excited at her slip and thought it was okay for me to ask a question.
Mom, shouldn't Scylla still be a part of our tradition? Can she come home for Easter?
I held my breath for the answer, but all Mom did was stare at me for a full minute.
Scylla was part of our tradition.
Mom's voice broke, like she was about to start crying again.
Not anymore.
It's not like her school's a prison. I was yelling by then. We can bring her home, or visit her. That could be fun, right? Mom clenched her fist like a boxer's. I knew she wasn't going to hit me, but she still looked scary, like a volcano about to erupt.
We can't see her.
She whispered it, but I still heard her. That made me even angrier. Because we could see you. If Mom and Dad would stop being so stubborn, if you would stop being so ashamed. You had a baby. It's not like you committed a crime. Your school is only 6 hours away. It's not like you're in Australia. Even though I bet you'd love that. Remember that time we went to the zoo and you spent a whole hour staring at that special koala exhibit? They were the cutest things there. Way cuter than the baby monkeys everyone else was looking at. Mom didn't back down, though. She kept saying, "We can't. We can't." Like she was a robot or something. I got so freaked out that I went back to my room to listen to the Beauty and the Beast soundtrack. It reminds me of June. Dad's taking the ham out of the oven now. Mom cooked about a billion side dishes. I'm in charge of dessert. I baked the cinnamon apple pie that June and I made last month. It didn't come out as good and wasn't as fun to make this time, but I think it'll taste okay. I'm going to email June now to say hi. I haven't seen her since Thursday because of the holidays, but we're meeting after school tomorrow to start working on our project. I'm excited. Nervous, too. So nervous that I just set up a separate email account, since Mom knows my password and checks my regular email every once in a while. Not that I wanted her reading my emails ever, but I definitely don't want her reading them now.
Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. P.P.S. I just emailed June. She wrote back right away. In all caps. Hi. Excited to see you in school. P.P.P.S. I have absolutely nothing cute to wear tomorrow. Tuesday, April 23rd. Dear Scylla, we finally talked about what happened. And she held my hand. I'm freaking out too much to write anything else. Love, Evie. P.S. Ah! Wednesday, April 24th. Dear Scylla, June's hands are soft, like she's never washed dishes in her life. Her nails are long and sharp and smooth. The pearl ring on her left hand was cold against my palm. It was weird and so normal at the same time. Holding hands was even better than a kiss. We didn't kiss again, which is good because I think the kiss freaked both of us out. We're only in seventh grade. I know other people are kissing, but I don't think I'm ready yet, especially the kind of kissing where spit gets involved. I bet you're super curious about what happened. I remember every single detail. I bet I'll remember every single detail forever. I went over to June's house to work on the project yesterday. I said no way to working at our house. I knew that the second Mom saw us together, she'd know what had happened. She'd have June arrested and ship me off to one of those de-gay your child camps. I didn't even tell her I was going to June's. I said I was going to Maggie's and crossed my fingers that she wouldn't call the Taylors. We worked on the project for about 2 hours. Italy's a cool subject, especially since Mr. Gardner said we could choose any aspect of the country. I really wanted to do Italian cooking, but June convinced me to do art, since we had such a fun time painting the sets. We borrowed June's mom's laptop and searched for different artists, Leonardo, Michelangelo, and places, the Sistine Chapel, the Spanish Steps. I wasn't sure landmarks could be considered art, but June said it'd be okay. We still hadn't talked about The Kiss by then. We talked about a horror movie that had been on TV the night before. June watched it with her mom and I caught the late night showing after Mom and Dad went to sleep and giggled about how Mr. Barrett must have had a cherry popsicle with his lunch because he looked like he was wearing lipstick when June stopped by his room at the end of the day. We talked about whether we wanted to do set crew in the fall or try out again. June wanted to try out. I decided that my performing days are over. She asked about you. I must have looked all serious because June poked me in the side. I laughed. Of course, I laughed. I'm the most ticklish person in the entire world. You made me pee my pants that one time at Uncle Bobby's birthday party, and the twins didn't stop calling me P.P. Evie for 3 years. Then June tickled me again. So I tickled her. Turns out she's as ticklish as I am. So she grabbed my hands and I grabbed hers, and we wrestled a little standing up, and then we got all close. We both stopped laughing. My cheeks turned red. June bit her lip. I guess we should get back to work, I said. Yeah, she bit her lip again. It was cute. I'm sorry I disappeared for a while. I really was sick. I believe you, I said. I did, really. But what happened was still bothering me. We hadn't talked for almost a week. Were you avoiding me at all, though? June looked at the floor. She looked at the ceiling. I looked up, too. There was nothing there. Okay, yeah, June finally said. But only because I was nervous and scared. I've never done anything like that before. I thought I was bad at it, or that my braces hurt you. She paused. Or that you didn't like me. I didn't even feel your braces, I said. And I kissed you. Of course I like you. I like you. There were the words, right out in the open. I couldn't take them back. I didn't want to either. I like you too, June whispered. It felt like someone had taken scissors and snipped open the knot that had been in my chest all week. Then I realized June was still holding my hand. I'm scared, I whispered. Me too, June said. We didn't say anything else. We didn't have to. But you know what the most extra cool, super fantastic, best part of the whole afternoon was? We didn't stop holding hands after we were done talking. And we stayed in June's room for another hour. 60 minutes of me turning library book pages with my right hand, and June taking notes with her left hand. 60 minutes of silly and awkward and sweaty and awesome. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. I wish I could have told you this in person.
Friday, April 26th. Dear Scylla, Katie and Ethan hold hands in the hallway. Miri and Nolan hold hands in the hallway. Sometimes she even puts her hand in the back pocket of his jeans, which is way gross. I bet Maggie would hold hands in the hallway with Dominic if he went to our school. I only get to hold June's hand when we're in her room, or in my room, or under the table at the library if we get the table in the back corner, behind the oversized books, where no one ever goes. We've held hands every time we've been alone together since that first time in June's room. At first it was awkward. My hands were sweaty and so were hers, so they slipped against each other. I didn't know how close to sit when we were on the bed. Here's what my head sounded like. If I get too close, will she think I'm too forward? But if I'm too far away, she might think I don't like her. But I'm holding her hand, so of course she knows I like her. But what if she's just holding it to humor me? Does she want to kiss me? Do I want to kiss her again? Does my breath smell gross? That was all in the span of about 10 seconds, too. Did you think like that around Alex? Dating, or whatever we're doing, is way too confusing. I don't think I could hold June's hand in public. I'm too scared about what everyone else would think. What if people yell at me, or I get in trouble? What if I get sent to the principal's office and she calls Mom and Dad? I feel like I shouldn't care about that. I should tell people I like June. I'm not ready to do that, though. It feels too weird still. I don't want to be ashamed of myself, but I am a little bit. I'm an awful person. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Wednesday, May 1st. Dear Scylla, after school today, June and I went out to get pizza. We'd both brought money for lunch, and the choices were either meat surprise or pasta Alfredo, which is basically ziti covered with glue. The clear choice was none of the above. So we were starving by 3 o'clock. The pizza place was busy, but there was an empty booth way in the back. After we argued over what toppings to get, I like pepperoni. June likes pepper and onion. We compromised with half and half. Anne picked out which songs to play on the jukebox in the corner. Remember when Mom and Dad played their wedding song and danced in the corner? You were so embarrassed. I finally asked her the question. Well, I started to ask her the question. Then I got nervous and we started talking about the book we're reading in language arts class. It's called Fish in a Tree, which sounds like a ridiculous title, but it's awesome. Then we played a game where we made up life stories for the people sitting around us. We pretended this tall guy with a black mustache was a French painter here to find the woman he met in Paris years ago. We pretended the old lady picking up a to-go order used to be a famous Broadway actress. Then we saw something that finally made me ask June the question. The, are you my girlfriend question. We saw two girls sitting at a booth together. They were holding hands. They weren't kissing or anything. But we knew. We knew we didn't have to pretend they were girlfriend and girlfriend. They were girlfriend and girlfriend. They looked happy, too. Happier than I felt in a long time. I did pretend then. I pretended that other people in town besides us felt like this. I pretended that I'd be happy someday, too. I pretended that I wouldn't have to hide because I was a sinner. It was nice. It made me happy. That's when I asked the question. Because right then, I didn't care if I was going to hell or that I was going to grow devil horns and a forked tail. I just wanted to keep being happy. June said,
"Yes?"
in a small squeaky mouse voice.
"I mean, I think so," she said.
She reached for my hand under the table, then pulled it away when the pizza guy came with our pizza. He warned us that it was hot and walked away. My face felt as hot as the pizza.
"Sorry,"
she said. I told her it was okay. It's going to take us a long time to not be scared of the world. Maybe we'll always be scared of the world. At least June's mom doesn't care if she's gay. She told her that once, a long time ago. June's still scared, though. She says it's because she's already a minority, and she's seen how her mom is treated sometimes. She's afraid of making her life even harder. I'm afraid of Mom and Dad. But we like each other. Is this worth it?
I don't know the answer yet. So we ate our pizza. We played our game some more. We pretended the little boy who walked in with his mom had telekinesis. We pretended the girl flipping pizzas behind the counter was going to grow up to be the first woman on Mars. We pretended we were on a date, too. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Thursday, May 2nd. Dear Scylla, we pretended at school today, too. We didn't hold hands and we didn't kiss. We still haven't had our second kiss. But we still pretended. Being girlfriends isn't so much something you do. It's something you feel. It's something you think. All through the day I thought of my girlfriend. It made the day different. Brighter, like even though it was raining outside, there were little rays of sunshine lighting my way. It was like the difference between seltzer and water. There were bubbles inside of me, popping and sizzling all day long. I told June what I was doing at lunch, like I was confessing something really awful. I'm pretending you're my girlfriend today. June giggled. I am too. Then she bumped her elbow against mine before taking another bite of her sandwich. It was a pretty great day. When I got home from school, I imagined what it might be like to tell Mom and Dad. I imagined they were the type of parents who would hug me and tell me they loved me no matter what. I wished that for a while. Then I looked around the living room, a bloody, thorn-poked Jesus looking down from the wall, at the wilted palm from Palm Sunday that's still tucked behind the picture of the Virgin Mary, at the four Bibles in the bookshelf, one for everyone. I thought about the day Mom and Dad found out you were pregnant. I realized that my wish was never going to come true. If I told them I liked girls, they'd think I'm worse than you. They'd hate me. They'd send me away. I felt alone for a few seconds, like I did that time I lost Mom in the mall when I was 5. Even though I was little and Mom says I probably don't really remember it, I do. I remember my heart racing as fast as a cheetah. I remember how the air smelled like French fries and soy sauce from the food court. I remember thinking that Mom left me and was never going to come back again. That I'd have to sleep on one of the beds in Sears overnight. Then I saw Mom, still in the checkout line where she'd been the last time I saw her. I'd forgotten what she was wearing and kept looking past her. That's what it was like yesterday. Like when all of a sudden I realized Mom had been there the whole time. That I wasn't alone anymore, doomed to a life wandering the mall. Except instead of Mom, I saw Katie and Maggie. I remembered what they were wearing. I realized that maybe I could tell them. That you're not the only one I can ask for help. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Saturday, May 4th. Dear Scylla, after I wrote my last letter, I remembered something you said last year. You might not remember, but I do. It was the night of the homecoming dance, and you had the biggest pimple ever in the middle of your forehead. I bet you remember the pimple. It was big and red and gross, and the color matched your dress perfectly. I saw it before you. I was afraid to point it out, but I didn't want someone else to do it first, especially Alex. I was expecting you to shriek and refuse to leave the house, but you just shrugged and put on more lipstick. Can't change it now, you said. But aren't you afraid of the kids laughing at you, I asked. Don't you need concealer? Maggie's sister Hannah uses concealer a lot. She's very pimply. You looked me right in the eyes. It was a very big sister thing to do. Nah, I hate the way it feels. It's just a pimple. I'm not going to let something I can't change ruin the dance. You were so mature. I remember thinking you looked pretty even with that bullseye on your face. I keep thinking of what you said. I'm not going to let something I can't change ruin the dance. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let something I can't change ruin my life. I'm going to tell Katie and Maggie about me in June. This is the right decision. And whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. Because here's what I've finally realized. How can something that makes me so happy be a sin? God wouldn't want me to be sad. No one who really loves me would want that. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. P.P.S. Wish me luck. I'd usually say, pray for me, but I'm not sure that's going to do any good. Monday, May 6th. Dear Scylla, I was going to tell Katie and Maggie today, but I chickened out. I had everything all scripted, too. My plan was simple. No stalling, no changing the subject. I knew that if I was going to do this, the only way would be to blurt it out, not even pausing for breath. You guys don't know this, but Scylla got pregnant last year, and Mom and Dad hated her so much they basically brainwashed her into going to some super strict Catholic school, and now she's being really weird in her letters, and I'm so worried, and I really need to find her, because I think I'm gay, and I don't know what to do. Then I'd need to take a huge gulp of air so I wouldn't pass out. I practiced my speech all day. I practiced it with June, before school. I practiced it in my head at lunch. The only time I didn't think about the big reveal was when June and I were presenting our Italy project, which turned out awesome. We made this fancy map where we highlighted towns and featured one piece of art for each place. Instead of using clip art, we made our own versions out of random things we found around town. June made a Mona Lisa out of leaves and berries. I made the Trevi Fountain out of rocks from Freeman Lake. I bet we'll get an A. And then, of course, I turned into a massive coward. We were outside school, waiting for Maggie's mom to pick her and Katie up for voice lessons. June left us alone so I could talk to my best friends on my own. It was the perfect time. It should have been the perfect time.
So, what's this big thing you need to tell us? Maggie asked.
She kept checking the time on her phone. Her case was new. White with fake diamonds around the outside. I hoped they were fake diamonds. Maybe Maggie's parents had won the lottery and I didn't know because we hadn't been talking much. I went over the script in my head once more. Then I imagined Maggie holding up her cross necklace and yelling that I was a sinner. I imagined Katie laughing and telling the whole school. I even imagined hidden microphones in the bushes that would broadcast my confession to the whole town. So I didn't say anything. I made up some excuse about wanting them to help me plan a birthday party for June. June's birthday isn't even until August, so my story made no sense. They didn't notice, though, because a second later, Maggie's mom pulled up, yelling that they were late. And I was all alone. I'll try to tell them again soon. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Thursday, May 9th. Dear Scylla, Mom and Dad are acting really weird lately, like even weirder than normal. Mom's not cooking and watching renovation shows as much, but now she spends her time hovering around me, like I'm a toddler and she's afraid I'm going to climb up the curtains, or eat one of the shiny decorative rocks on the coffee table. Dad keeps gritting his teeth every time he looks at me. When he looks at me, I mean. I keep trying to convince myself I'm being hypersensitive, that I'm imagining all this because I think they're going to hate me. Then I look over my shoulder and see Mom. Then Dad leaves the room just as I'm going in, and I get scared all over again. Love, Evie. P.S. Where are you, Scylla? I miss you. Friday, May 10th. Dear Scylla, telling Katie and Maggie is going to be scary. It's so much easier to tell you stuff in these letters. Because I don't have to see you. Because there's a gap between me writing the words and you reading them. In a way, it's like I'm really telling nobody. Nobody doesn't judge me. Nobody doesn't think I'm going straight to hell for holding a girl's hand. Nobody doesn't stop speaking to me or send me away to live in a home for lesbian middle schoolers. Do they have those? Nobody doesn't give hugs, though. Or advice. Talking to nobody is lonely. So I'm going to tell somebody else. For real this time. Then I'm going to go find you, because this is getting ridiculous. I haven't seen you or heard your voice since June. That's almost a year. A year is a long time. A lot can happen in a year. I don't want a year to turn into more. Plus, Katie and Maggie don't know Mom and Dad like you do, and I need advice. I need to know whether I should tell them the truth. And what's going to happen if I do? Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Sunday, May 12th. Dear Scylla, I did it! I did it! I told Katie and Maggie and they were okay, I guess. They were definitely surprised, shocked even, but then happy, I think. After that first time chickening out, I emailed Katie and Maggie. I asked them when they were free and we decided on a date and time to meet at the park. I wrote it on my calendar in black marker, too, so there'd be no way to get scared and cancel. Then I called June to see if she was free, since I wanted her there for moral support. Of course I'd picked the one afternoon she was busy, It was something she couldn't back out of either. Her grandma and uncle were visiting, and they were all having a special lunch. June told me to tell them without her, though. She said Katie and Maggie were my friends, and that if they judged me, they weren't true friends anyway. Which I knew, obviously, but I guess the words hadn't traveled from my head down to my heart. Fear got in the way, because thinking about a world without Katie and Maggie, even if we haven't talked much lately, is awful. But a world without June would make me sad, too. So we met at the park. The daffodils and crocuses were blooming, and there were even a few ducks swimming around the pond. A little boy and his mother threw crusts into the water. "Do you remember when we used to do that?" Mom would save the butts of the bread, and we'd shove a bunch into a paper bag to bring with us. We named the ducks, too. Freddy, Delilah, Marjorie, and Supergirl. You named the first three, and I named the last one. Supergirl was the coolest duck. She had that dark yellow spot on her in the shape of an S. I pretended I had the courage of Supergirl when Katie and Maggie walked up. I said the exact words I'd planned, right away, so I wouldn't lose my nerve. Katie's jaw dropped. Maggie's eyes opened wide.
"Really?"
Katie asked.
"You like girls?" Maggie asked. Like them? Like you want to kiss them?"
"So you're a lesbian?" Katie didn't say it like Mom does. Like the cook at Applebee's accidentally put mayonnaise on her hamburger. Or like Dad does when it rains on a day he has an ultimate game. They weren't running away and screaming. That was a good sign.
"I think so," I said. "I mean, I have kissed one."
"What?"
Maggie shrieked.
"You got your first kiss before me?"
She shoved me on the shoulder, but not like she was mad at me, like we were friends, which we still are. I think I blushed because it felt like I was sitting in front of a fireplace. "One kiss," I said.
"Who was it?"
Katie bounced up and down. Her curly ponytail swung back and forth.
"This is so cool! First me and Ethan, then Maggie and Dominic, and now Evie and whoever."
It was the best thing ever. Katie and Maggie acted like I'd just confessed to liking a boy, like everything was totally normal. I told them about June. Katie groaned.
"Of course, it's so obvious now."
I told them about you. They were cool. They were awesome. They are my best friends. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. P.P.S. Katie and Maggie agree that I need to see you in person. We came up with a plan, too. It was like the musical hadn't happened, like we hadn't barely talked in months. It was the best. Tuesday, May 14th. Dear Scylla, I stopped at the high school after school today. That was the first step of our plan. Class had been out for almost an hour, but there were still kids around. I wore my black raincoat and my darkest pair of sunglasses. I even took one of Dad's baseball hats to wear on my head. I didn't want anyone to recognize me, in case word got back to Mom and Dad. If they knew I was looking for Alex, I'd be grounded for a year. Maybe 5 years. I decided it'd be worth it, though, if Alex could help me figure out what's going on with you, or if he had any idea where your baby is. After all, she's his daughter, too. Maybe he'd agree to drive me to St. Augustine's. I knew Alex was on the baseball team last year, so I headed for the fields behind the high school. Practice was still going on, but I didn't see him anywhere. I was dressed like a spy, with dark sunglasses and a baseball hat. I made sure the collar of my coat was up high, too. It was a silly disguise, but no one seemed to recognize me. Plus, it made me feel super sneaky. I decided to risk breaking my cover when one of the players ran to the dugout for some water. I crooked my finger at him and he trotted over. The boy said that Alex wasn't on the team anymore. He didn't even try out this year, which is really weird. Alex never shut up about baseball. He has a Red Sox shirt for every day of the week. Or he did. I haven't seen him at church in a while. Anyway, Alex wasn't at school. And even though I could have gone to his house to see him, that seemed too risky. Like I was wearing one of those prisoner leg bracelet thingies that'd send a signal to Mom and Dad the second I got within a quarter mile of his house. On to step two. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Wednesday, May 22nd. Dear Evie, I mean it. Stop writing. Don't try to visit me. You need to learn to live without me. Your sister, Scylla. Monday, May 27th. Dear Scylla, I'm ignoring your last letter. I'm pretending I didn't even get it because I don't think you mean what you're writing. You want to see me. You really do. You're just hurting, and I'm going to help you. So, on with the plan. Step 2. Find Anna, or whatever her name is now. I still think of her as Anna. Katie agrees that you might be depressed. Maggie thinks that if you know Anna's happy, you might stop feeling awful about being a teen mom. June says that maybe then you'll feel like your pregnancy was for a greater good. I don't think I agree with that, but maybe Anna is happier with her new family. Thinking that made me sad, though, so I changed the subject and we started investigating. We looked online for adoption agencies near us. There were 4 nearby, 3 in Boston and 1 in Providence. I wrote their numbers down and we each made a call. Dad was working and Mom was out food shopping. She's usually only there for an hour, so we didn't have much time. Plus, I didn't want her to know that June was over. Mom was really rude to June when she picked me up at school last week for my dentist appointment. All the agencies said the same thing. Privacy, privacy, privacy. They couldn't tell us anything. Under penalty of law. I tried to pretend I was Mom, but the adoption guy didn't buy it. My voice is way too high. Maybe I'd pass for Mom after she sucked from a helium-filled balloon, but I didn't think of that excuse in time. Then he hung up on me. It was totally rude. June suggested maybe you'd gone through an agency near your school. We called 3 more places, but they were all the same. Rude, rude, rude. I kept picturing Anna, or what I think Anna might look like. Lots of curly brown hair, just like you. Green eyes and tons of freckles. A silly smile that will always make me laugh. I'm not going to give up. I need to know she's okay. Maybe then you'll be okay. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Wednesday, May 29th. Dear Scylla, Step 3, whatever it's going to be, we haven't figured that part out yet, is going to have to wait. Because I have a date! Picture me doing a happy dance in my room. Now, picture me knocking over my desk chair and tripping over the pile of clothes on the floor. Because that totally just happened. I don't care, though. Because I have a date with June on Friday. My first date! I'm not counting the times June and I hung out in my room doing homework and holding hands. Those would have been the most boring dates ever. This is going to be a real date. A double date. With Katie and Ethan. At first I was mad when Katie said she told Ethan about us. But I guess he doesn't care, because he picked the movie we're going to. Some action movie with race cars and underground tunnels. It doesn't sound that great, but I don't care. I'm going on a date! With my girlfriend! Every time I whisper it to myself, my insides feel the way my mouth does when I have hot chocolate with marshmallows. All warm and gooey. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. P.P.S. Now I really wish you were here, because I have no clue what to wear on a first date. Thursday, May 30th. Dear Scylla, Mom and Dad are the worst ever. They told me I couldn't go to the movies with June tomorrow. Here's what happened. Mom and Dad were supposed to be at a planning meeting for vacation Bible school tonight, but it got out early. So when they came home with Chinese food, June was still here. Whoops. I know they don't like June. I also know that I do, and I really want them to change their minds. So I asked them if June could stay for dinner. I knew they'd be too polite to say no. I was right. I just didn't think about what having June stay for dinner actually meant. That it also meant staying for prayer. When we all bowed our heads, June didn't do anything. She just sat there. No bowed head, no folded hands, no anything. Mom stopped praying to ask her what was wrong. You don't know the words? Mom asked. June shook her head.
No, ma'am.
Would you like to learn?
No, thank you.
My heart was beating super fast by this point.
Well, you should thank God for the bounty before you.
Mom said in her very best, I know better than you because I'm a mom voice.
I don't need to thank God for this meal. June said.
She sounded super polite, even though Mom and Dad were acting like she was saying all the really bad swear words.
I can thank you,
though, for serving it to me. I was mad at June for a second. Didn't she know she was going to get me in trouble? I wish she'd pretend to pray, just for a few seconds. Then I realized something. Why should she pray? She didn't believe in God, and that was okay. No one should force her to do something she doesn't believe in. June was right, too. God didn't give us this meal. The staff at Long's Kitchen made it. God didn't cook the meal. God didn't harvest the rice. God didn't grow the broccoli. People did that. Why don't we thank people as much as we thank God? Maybe it would make the world a better place. It's like when Mom and Dad told me to thank God for my good report card last year. God didn't work hard. I did. Everything's starting to make total sense and no sense at the same time. I don't know what to believe anymore. Maybe believing in God is a habit I got stuck in. I didn't think about anything because I didn't think I had to. Mom and Dad believe, so it must be true. Now I'm thinking. I'm challenging. June makes me do that. That's why I like her. Mom and Dad don't like her, though, which is dumb. Not believing in God doesn't make June evil. She doesn't have devil horns growing out of her curly hair. If she does, they're really short devil horns. She doesn't swear or kick kittens. She believes something different. Just like you did something different. The rest of dinner was awful. June chattered on about how she was going to visit her old friends in California for a week this summer, and how she loves the gymnastics unit we're doing in gym class. Mom and Dad barely said anything, and I barely ate anything. After dinner, they told me they don't want me to hang out with June anymore. She's a bad influence, Mom said. When I protested that we had plans tomorrow, Mom said she doesn't care. She told me to cancel. Too bad I'm not going to listen to them. Love, Evie. P.S. I miss you. Friday, May 31st. Dear Scylla, well, tonight started out as the best night of my life. We met at Tony's Pizza before going to the movies. I told Mom that I was meeting Katie and Ethan instead. They actually believed me, too. Either that or they didn't hear me tell them where I was going, because I did it really quietly while they were busy watching TV. I learned that trick from you. Tony's was packed. Smelly, too. Like sweaty sneakers and boy cologne mixed with tomato sauce. I was still hungry, though. I'd been so nervous all day that I'd barely eaten anything. First date plus lying to parents equals so much anxiety. I was more nervous about the date than the lying, which was weird. I've seen June practically every day since she moved here, and I'd never felt butterflies like those dancing around in my stomach. They were mega butterflies, monster butterflies, mutant butterflies. We weren't just doing homework tonight. Tonight was supposed to be special. I'd spent an hour picking out my outfit and even straightened my hair. I stopped at the drugstore to buy a tube of lip gloss, too. It was my first time wearing lip gloss, and even though the color was a little too pink, it looked good. I looked grown up. June and I got our regular pizza. The pizza was good, but what was even more amazing was eating meat on a Friday without anyone making a big deal out of it, and without saying a prayer first. You know that old movie Grease, where the blonde girl changes into a leather jacket-wearing rebel by the end of the movie? I felt like that, except with pepperoni instead of stiletto heels. Katie and Ethan snuggled up on their side of the booth. June and I had regular chairs on our side, so we couldn't have snuggled up even if we'd wanted to. I was glad not to have to decide what to do. Being on a date was big enough. I liked the little things, though. I liked brushing my hand against June's and not worrying what Katie and Ethan were going to think. I liked smiling and giggling and not feeling like I was hiding anything. Even if only three other people knew about us, that was enough. It was more than we'd ever had before. We still had to be careful, though, because everyone from school was there. Ian and his basketball friends were in the corner, burping the alphabet. The soccer girls were at the table in front of us, and Mary was bragging about the new designer cleats her dad bought her. I don't think designer cleats are a thing. Four soccer boys were at the booth next to us, including Joey Witter, who kept staring at me the way you look at chocolate cake. At least he wasn't drooling. No one wants to see that. They kept asking Ethan to join them, but he told them he was on a date. The other boys all cooed and hooted and made weird faces. I think Henry Stone might have stared between me and June a little too long then, but maybe I was imagining it.